It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Hello, Swiggies and Swifties and Curiosity TTPDs.
Tizzle, tizzle, pizzle, dizzles. Drink every time Sam tizzle, tizzle, pizzles that dizzle in this episizzle.
You are listening to another great episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. This is a very special episode. This is episode 67. So it's not special because of the number. It's special because this is another very special Taylor Tea Time. Sam, is this number 4 of our Taylor Tea Time?
No idea. It takes us a long time to figure out which episode number in general this is, much less which Tea Time episodes are which. So
yeah.
I don't know the number of it, but what I do know, Rachel, is y'all listeners love our Tea Time episodes. And we love to record them and discuss them for you
sure
as
do.
Well. So we hope you're just as excited as we are to get into this one, because this was probably the first like pre-planned Tea Time episode we've done. I feel like the other Tea Time episodes we've done, we've needed to like discuss some tea.
They were like emergency.
Yeah,
yes, kind of. There was tea that was happening.
Yes, we've had this one planned for a while. What do you want to tell them about what we will be getting into on this episode, Rach?
Well, this takes us off our regular routine of choosing a song, because this is the first time that you and I have had an entirely new album enter this world during our podcast era.
We have discussed our reactions to other artists releasing some albums, but this is the first time where Taylor Swift herself is giving us a whole new album. Now, we've gotten some vault tracks, which we've discussed and reacted to, but a whole new album, Rachel, a whole new era.
A whole new album.
And this episode is being recorded on April 1st, which means we are officially in the month of the Tortured Poets Department release.
That is no joke. It is the truth.
No April Fools going on here, to our knowledge. With that said, that means we're shy of 3 weeks away from hearing these songs and really knowing what is the Tortured Poets Department. What does it sound like, and what is the vibe, and what is the message that Taylor wants to put out in her art with this album? Because of that, we are here today to discuss our predictions and our theories.
Yeah.
And I am hiccuping a lot. This beer is like really kind of traveling a long route down my esophagus. So forgive me for that.
Would you like me to scare you? Hey, Sam, Taylor Swift just announced Reputation is live. Taylor's version.
That's not...
April Fools!
You can't joke about that, Rachel. That's actually too serious of a joke. My coworker today was like, ooh, what should we post on our business Instagram? That would be a really funny April Fools joke. Like, hey, we're shutting down the business. I was like, no, you can't. That's too serious. You got to know the boundaries of an April Fool's joke, and telling me that Reputation, Taylor's version, is dropping is taking it too far.
That's not funny.
You scared the hiccups out of me, though, so thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yeah, there's been so... We've had so many times in our podcast since this first was announced at the Grammys, and we had a chance to... less than 24 hours later to just start freaking our freak out about a new album, TS11, coming. And in the middle of that recording, getting a release of the track list.
Oh, God.
It is very unheard of.
That was iconic.
I mean, to get it just like the dump of all of it. And then since then, we've had a lot of content coming and coming as she was doing some of her eras tour shows. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty quiet. And by pretty, I mean like silent.
Right. Which how interesting we talk about the concept of Taylor being silent, because I'm going to bring that up. But it really has been silent. Rachel, I tell you what, let's get into it. But first, can we introduce our cocktails? Because that's my favorite part about Taylor Tea Time episodes, is we don't have to wait to announce the song we're discussing. We just do it right away.
All right, Sam, I'm ready. I know you're excited. Would you like to go first? What did you bring to this Taylor Tea Time?
So I came up with, a tea cocktail. And I am calling this the London Cure.
Oh.
You know, there is a track on this album called So Long London. And I will discuss my thoughts on that song later on in this episode. But I wanted that to sort of be a bit of an inspiration for my cocktail. But I didn't want to make a cocktail about that song because I don't know what the song is yet. And we might discuss that song at some point in our podcast. So I'll reserve that.
Yep.
But I wanted to do a London inspired cocktail. And the way that I'm calling it London Cure is for several reasons. I did an Earl Grey infused gin, which I have done this before on a Taylor Tea Time episode. In fact, I made the Earl Grey infused gin for that episode and had like 2 ounces left of it and never did anything with it until today. So I'm finally just using up the rest of that.
Oh, perfect.
So it's perfect. Earl Grey tea infused in gin, like just steep the tea bag in the gin. And then I made an elderberry syrup, which elderberries are meant to be really good for your health and your immunity. So that's where this cure concept is coming in. So
how did you make your elderberries? Like, where did you get elderberries?
Well, you can buy them online, but I was gifted these from Wisconsin, actually, from a friend who sent me a Wisconsin care package. And I did sweeten this. So I made like the tea. I let the elderberries, they were dried, boil for a while and like simmer for a while. And then I sweetened it with honey. So that adds more to the cure, I like to believe. And then there's a little bit of lemon juice for the acid. And I added some orange bitters and vanilla extract as well. And I'm really digging the flavors that are coming together. I thought it'd be fun to call it the London Cure because Earl Grey is a London type tea. And the cure is, of course, coming from the elderberry. But, you know, I have a feeling that Taylor might be trying to sing about how she's perhaps cured from the London boy that she was with. So that's my concept, and I am so excited that we're like only just a few minutes into this episode, and I can already say clink, clink, and cheers.
Lucky you. I also wanted to make, a tea-based cocktail. Sam, I'm coming to us with a very special mug that you got for me.
It's making its podcast debut. Or is it making its podcast self-titled? What do we call it?
Yeah, I think it's self-titled. Yeah. This is what I learned in the last episode, right? So Swiftie's podcast, Taylor Swift.
I don't know what you're trying to get at. What
you said, it's not debut
podcast. Oh yeah, that joke went too far, I think.
You could cut that, and I just lost my microphone.
I might not, but your Swiftie mug, Swiftie.
Okay. I also wanted to come up with a cocktail that represented the album as a whole, as we imagine it to be at this point in time. Okay, so I'm taking images of the color cover. I wanted like some browns, some whites, some dark colors, and then I also wanted to hint at the London aspect, because I do believe that a big portion of this album is going to center around Taylor's London boy. Okay. Speaking of London boy, so the very first Taylor Tea Time that we did, we actually called that episode because it was shortly after rumors had started to begin of the breakup of Taylor and yes, Joe.
Yeah, they were just this rumors at that point, back, weren't they?
This was literally like a year yep. ago, a year and a couple of days. So, and that was a big part of that episode. And I think it was a big part of why people were so curious about that episode, because that was all the talk, right? I made a cocktail that I called the London Boy Fog.
Yes.
I wanted to kind of bring that back a little bit. Now that we're kind of back in, we're still kind of talking about that. We've come full circle. I feel like this album is going to bring us kind of full circle, at least enough from where we were then, what happened before, kind of like answer as many questions as we can. But there's still maybe a lot of fogginess that started in that relationship. So I wanted to make another London Fog latte cocktail kind of situation. But this time I made it iced because we have a lot of questions and I want to take my time the way that ice might melt into this beverage. I made tea ice.
Interesting. I'm not familiar with that number.
Well, I just made ice with tea. That's not.
Oh, okay. So frozen tea cubes.
Right. Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
I feel like because we don't fully know that you can use different kinds of tea based on what vibe you're getting from this album. Mm-hmm. So if it's giving, if there's a song that you like particularly that's giving darkness, sadness, I would use a really dark black tea. So I started with making a really thick tea, meaning 2 tea bags to a half a cup of water.
Oh, she's rich.
So it's really rich because you start there, then you add in some gin because gin is a London.
Totally.
But I wanted to stay with those darker colors. I needed to give it a little dark. I also feel like there might be some spice in this album. Just a little bit of bittersweet spice happening.
Okay.
And I decided to add some allspice dram.
Yay!
The one that you made for me.
Wait, is that its first time being included in?
It might be. I've been drinking it, but I don't think I've used it yet on the podcast.
I love the allspice dram.
And I'm telling you, and I'm going to see if you will bring this up later, but I'm using 10 milliliters of this allspice dram.
I was going to bring this up. That is amazing. So, I could not wait to bring this up.
So just wait to find out later in the episode about why.
This is an inside joke that will be soon revealed. I can't wait. That is great.
All right. So 10 milliliters of allspice dram. We've got our gin. We've got our tea. That's all cold. You use your tea ice cubes because you want this tea to even start getting even more of the tea flavor. And then you top it with cream. I used a spiced oat milk because I wanted more of those spicy hints, a little bit of sweetness, and I wanted oat milk. So it just like you give it that cream and it starts to bleed together. It almost gives this like black, pitch black ink, veins of pitch Ooh. Black ink kind of running through
it. See what you're doing there.
See what I'm doing? Okay. So I'm calling this one All's Fair in Love and Poet Tea.
Poet Tea. Rachel, you love your puns
I love
when it
a
comes
pun.
To the tea.
I sure do.
And so, I love the sound of that cocktail very much. That sounds like something I would deeply enjoy.
I think you would enjoy it. It's keeping me awake. All right.
Yeah.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink. Rach.
So this is our tea. Now it's time to get into some tea.
Let's get into some tea after we get into some new shit, Rach.
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit.
I am so overwhelmed with all of the music that is happening right now. In this year of our Lord and Savior 2024, we are just getting drops and drops and drops of new music. We're
yes,
getting
the hits
bangers.
Just keep coming.
We're getting hits. Literally. We're getting ballads. We're getting sad songs.
We're getting collabs.
We are getting
collabs. We're getting and, genre mixing.
Yeah. And I'm not even to the Taylor Swift album yet. Like,
I know.
So, yes, there is a lot to discuss. finally, I have started to organize a note in my phone listing all of the new shit that I want to listen to and talk about mm-hmm. on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
So that's really helping me sort of compartmentalize the overwhelming amount of new music we're getting. Now, there's an artist that I've been wanting to talk about for a few weeks, and it's not Beyoncé, Rachel.
Okay.
I just have a feeling you're going to talk about Beyoncé, and I am so excited.
I'll take the lead in that
conversation. For you to do that. So
okay.
Instead of Beyoncé, I really want to talk about Jack Harlow for a minute, everybody.
Okay, throw me some new stuff.
Yeah,
new shit.
So I've been wanting to listen to Jack Harlow. He's been on my radar for the last 2 years, I think, is when he kind of started to pick up more of a mainstream audience. And essentially, okay. If you're not familiar, he's a rapper from Louisville, Kentucky. And he's one of those rappers that just doesn't fit the traditional look of what authentic historic rappers would be, because he is a really nerdy looking white guy.
Sounds like that one guy I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah, with the poet's song, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of rap, but I love what rap can do for a listener, because rap is oftentimes very honest when it's delivered in a way that I can sort of understand and comprehend and relate to. I do really like rap. And so I decided to listen to Jack Harlow. And now he's very current right now because of that song Lovin' On Me, which I cannot get that song out of my head. That's not the song I really want to talk about, but that's why he's like so prominent right now. I went to, I guess it's his latest album. It came out last year. I think the song, I really struggled with which song do I want to bring up. And I didn't know if this was the one I was going to go for. But the song I have decided is called Gang, Gang, Gang. I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about it because it's got some really, it's dark and haunting. Mm. But because of that, it's deep and it caught my ears more than any other song. And essentially what he's talking about in this song is he talks about how growing up, you know your best friends, and you know, especially as a child, you do really adolescent things with those friends, and then you say things like, "You're my ride or die, and I'm there with you, and I'll take a bullet from you. You're my best friend." But then later on, he's saying that his friends have done some really bad things, and things that I don't even want to talk about. Like, you'll have to listen to the song. Yep. But I'm not even going to go there on this podcast right now. And then he kind of comes around to that concept of like, well, I did say you're my ride or die. And I did say I'll take a bullet from you. And he sort of struggles with that. And I think we're seeing that quite a bit in Hollywood, where, you know, the news comes out of allegations about celebrities and people that we thought that we knew and people that we trusted at one point. But then some awful news surfaces and we struggle with, you know, coming to terms with where do we stand in our relationship with that artist? Or where do you stand in your relationship with a friend when you find out that they've done something very awful? And at the end of this song, Jack really comes around and comes to terms basically with what that means.
Truthfully, it's family till it can't be, gang till it ain't, twins, but it depends, brothers until something is uncovered, dogs until the lifting of the fog. I always got you turns into, well, I never thought you, years of camaraderie suddenly disappear.
That song really stood out to me the most. He's probably one of my current favorite artists, and I just wanted to get that off my chest so that we could
continue on
what else we've got to talk about new music. I mean, I've just got a whole list. But I think I know, Rachel, where you're going to go with your new shit. But lead us into it, if you could.
Yes. So, Sam, I was in the great state of Texas last week. And I was so lucky enough to be driving home from Texas. And just so you know, Texas is big.
Oh,
so it takes
okay.
a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thankfully, I had so much great music that you've been sharing with me in the last new shit that we've been talking about, new things coming up. And on the day that we were driving through Houston and doing about 8 hours through Texas, Beyoncé dropped a new album.
Woo-wee.
Cowboy Carter. And it could not have been more of like the perfect moment to listen to Beyoncé's new album.
She did that for you.
That she did it for me. Right on that day, she was like, Rachel's going to be driving through Houston. And I waited because we left really early. I just wanted to be in the right mindset. But as soon as we hit Houston, I was like, it's time to press play. Mm. We're starting from the beginning of Beyoncé's life. She's going back. She's going back in her own history, what she grew up with. She's going back in the history of Black America and what they have done to influence the country as we know it today. And I feel like I've only just touched the surface of getting to know more about this album,
mm-hmm.
but I was blown away by first listen. And I actually had my reservations, but just with the first listen, the harmony, the subtle backtrack of country like beats and the music that is used is just so smooth. And then to top that off, she has some incredible artists that she's working with. And she's doing these amazing covers. Sam, I was just really blown away. I think I had low expectations. And I really, really loved the entire thing.
You know, I absolutely did as well. I have listened to it 2 times in its entirety. And I would agree with what you said. I feel like I'm still just scratching the surface. I am very excited to hear what were your favorite moments or if you have a favorite song, because I can't quite decide. I've got like a top 3, I think.
I changed my mind a lot. I probably have a top 3 too. I think my favorite song on the album is Yaya. I had so much fun. When that song came on, I was dancing like crazy. We had pulled into a gas station. There's this like guy next to me, this older guy wearing a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, looking at me because I'm just like dancing. And it's like, it's Beyonce, except it's country.
It's Beyonce like, in that moment.
It's Beyonce. Ugh. So fun. That was just a highlight. I was like, yes, like we get some bangers, we get some like touching music, we get some incredible harmony, incredible storytelling. I mean, there's opera singing. Like I can go on. There's just so many layers to this album. It's incredible.
It's multifaceted for sure. And one thing I didn't know is that it's part 2 of 3 of this Renaissance project. So we have another installment of this trilogy where I think Beyoncé, what she's trying to tell us is just she wants to explore history in music and culture in music, like she did with Renaissance, like she did with Cowboy Carter, and who knows what she'll do with this third installment or when we'll even get that. But I cannot wait to listen to this album more. Yaya is such a fun song, Rachel. I don't blame you one bit for choosing that one as the highlight. There's so many good highlights, and I might bring up some more on my new shit coming down the line too.
I think it's fair. We might have to return to some of these songs.
Great new shit.
It's a great start to what's going to be an amazing pop spring. It's like, it's just going to be a good one. We've got so many good albums coming up that I'm really excited about. Except we have one that is my most, that just hits the peak of my excitement.
Which one's that?
I mean, what we're discussing today is the Torture Poets Department album, Taylor Swift's 11th studio album.
Yet to be released at the time of this recording of podcast,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Obviously, and that's the whole point of us getting together today, Rachel. I would like to structure this in a way that feels familiar to us and to our listeners by discussing the spirit of the album, where we share our thoughts on the overall message of the album, the overall theme and maybe concept of the album. And then we can go into the musical mixology of the album, where we maybe talk about the sound qualities, the genre of the album, maybe producers that might be involved, what we think it's just gonna vibe like sound-wise. And then the interesting thing is, I do want to discuss Taylor with a Twist, which normally for a song, that means we break down the lyrics, but we don't have really much lyrics to go off of. We have some,
right?
We think.
Maybe.
Yeah. But we don't know. So, but I think rather than focusing on lyrics, I think we should focus on the individual tracks, Rachel, and we could go through track one through, gosh, how many?
20.
There's 20 freaking tracks on this. I mean, what? So I think that with that, you know, that helps us kind of structure this discussion a little bit. So I hope that works for you, Rach.
I mean, this is just fun, right? Like, this is not at all necessary. I mean, we could just sit here and wait for the album to come. Like, we don't need to do this because we can just wait and listen. But I think this is really exciting to have this opportunity to make these guesses, be wild and crazy. I have some wild and crazy theories that I'm going to throw in here and there.
Yeah. I'm so excited to hear those. And I also think that it'll be fun to maybe come back to listening to this episode after we've already heard these songs.
Yes.
And definitely. Maybe compare and contrast our crazy theories with how things actually ended up being. If we were so wrong on our theories, let's just laugh about that. And that'll be part of the fun. So
I think it'll be fun.
Let's talk about the spirit
of
the Tortured Poets Department. Tizzle, tizzle, pizzle, dizzle, drink. I feel like I laid this out when we sort of had our emergency tea time episode after she announced this album. I did say, especially when we were going through the track listing, which was like dropping live in that moment, this is very much giving a breakup album.
Totally.
Now, in many ways that makes sense because she did have a breakup a year ago. And one thing that Taylor does really well is write songs about heartbreak and emotional baggage and sadness and depression. But that's where I think this, if this is a breakup album, I think it's different from other Taylor Swift breakup albums in that it's not so much about her being sad and depressed and like gutted. I think it's about her having power in a breakup. And that is sort of a concept that we don't have very much from Taylor Swift, is her, like, maybe she was the one that dumped his ass for a specific reason.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that she's not hurt by it, right? Because she and Joe were in a relationship for 6 years, and she wrote some really meaningful love songs about him. So we know that he meant a lot to her, but of course, when you leave somebody, that doesn't just make it automatically okay. You still go through some trauma. And especially post-breakup, like, you start to process all of the trauma. Now that you are, like, out of it, you can really see things for what they were that maybe you weren't allowed to see in that moment. And I think that, to me, is the spirit of this album. I definitely think there's going to be some sad songs, but I ultimately think they're going to be kind of more empowering on Taylor's side. What do you think about that?
I love that. I love how you worded that, like the empowerment of that. Because I think that is important to say, like, the easy answer is, this is a breakup album. But I think it's so much there's so many different layers underneath that, right? And I think you nailed it that in saying this is a breakup album, but this is a different kind of breakup. And I also think that what will be unique about this album versus other albums about Joe Alwyn is that there may be a lot of information that she didn't feel comfortable sharing about their relationship because what we do know about Joe is that he was private. And so I think that while it's a breakup album and she's going to have empowerment, I think some of that power is going to be sharing her side of the story and sharing the ways that it was breaking down. We also have a title to the album, which is another thing that we can really discuss. However, the title of this album is also a track. So I think I'm going to wait on my thoughts on the Torture Poets Department and what that might mean until we get further into the track listings.
But
then the other, after we received the title, we received an image. And I think it's important to kind of touch on some of the looks of that and how Taylor might be communicating to us with that. So the first image we get is, you know, it's sepia tone and it's Taylor laying on a bed wearing cute little black lingerie, 90s situation with shorts.
It's pretty 90s situation-y, isn't it?
It's very sensual. It's not sexy. It's sensual. And
some would argue it's sexy, but I don't think it's trying to give off sexual vibes.
What it's giving is intimate. What it is giving is revealing. I mean, and I'm not talking like, hello, you know, revealing her body, but like it's hinting at like, oh, I'm letting you into my bedroom, which is telling us like, I'm letting you into the very intimate parts of this relationship or me. I'm letting you into the very intimate parts of me.
It's definitely the most like physically revealing we've seen her on a cover before.
Totally.
You know, because we get like legs and midriff and skin but in a way that's like, it is revealing without being too revealing. She's covering her body with her own arms. And half of her face is out of the frame. Like you only see the lower half of her face. You don't even see all of her legs. You just see like kind of like the mid portion of her body, which she's covering up.
I don't know where I heard this, but someone said what's interesting is she's covering her gut with her hand and her heart. And that's one of the places where we can communicate or we get communication is from our gut. And if this is an album, as Taylor Swift said, she wrote because she had to. And if this is an album written pretty relatively recently, we're not talking about things that happened 10 years ago. We're talking about things that just happened. That maybe she wrote very much within
the year.
Yes. Yeah. Then these were written not yet necessarily from a place of healing, which is interesting that you or they were written in the moment. So if there is healing, it was healing that was happening in the moment, not like looking back on this thing from 10 years ago, I am now healed, right? Like this is a girl who didn't go through, who wasn't in therapy yet. This is what she's bringing to her therapy. These are the songs that she's bringing to her therapist to talk about. And again, maybe she's bringing us the points of her healing, but I think that she's showing us the intimacy and the gut is like, this is raw. This is like, these are going to be very present for you.
Very interesting, Rachel. I also think that one thing I want to hypothesize is that we won't be getting a whole lot of dragging of Joe. What we know about Joe Alwyn, up to this point, of course, it doesn't seem to me that he's done anything so wrong that he would deserve to be dragged throughout an entire album like Jake Gyllenhaal, like John Mayer. Almost in the same light as like 1989 was with Harry Styles. Like she didn't drag Harry, but a lot of those songs focused on how that breakup was really hard for her.
Yes.
But not so much about, you know, defaming him. And I have a sense that that's where we might be going with this album. But the one thing, though, is I just think that we don't know everything.
Yes.
And what's so interesting is this album comes out on April 19th.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even talked about that, the importance of that yet.
So I'm going to talk about it right now. Because
do it.
on that same date last year in 2023, that was the date that Taylor was photographed going out to dinner. This is like one of her first sightings post Joe Allen breakup of being out and about, and she is with her squad. She is with her girlies and her besties by her side, and they're out and about on the town and like going out to eat, drinks, and whatever. But we also learned, and I don't know how people figure this out, but all of her squad has unfollowed Joe Allen on social media. And that happened after Taylor met with all of these people that night.
That night.
Which leads us to believe that on that night, Taylor revealed something to her friends that made them not want anything to do with this Joe guy. Now, if it was something like, oh, it was kind of mutual, which is what the tabloids told us, or the source told us.
The source, right.
If it was mutual or like it just wasn't working out, we're going to go see other people, I don't think that would deserve her best friends unfollowing him on social media, but they have unfollowed him on social media, which leads me to believe that actually he has done something bad. And
then why did it feel so good?
So that's where I stand right now, is from what we know about the situation, what I know about Joe, is he seems like just kind of just a small man who kind of silenced her.
Smallest man in the world?
Exactly. And yes, that's not great for who she wanted to be, but, you know, does that deserve to drag him? Probably not. Maybe not.
I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be dragging, but I do think in any breakup, there are going to be some hard feelings. And I don't think it's going to be as simple as, it just didn't work out. I don't think we're going to have an entire album pulled from the of a tortured poet that's all about, we just didn't work out. I think there's got to be some deeper feelings there. And I'm excited to find out what that is and what that means to Taylor. And I also think I'm really curious to find out how she wrestles with what to reveal and what she has a right to reveal.
Yeah. Now, the last thing I want to say about the spirit.
Yes.
Is I'm not sure that every single song is going to be about the breakup. I don't think,
I think that's what's
going to happen here. You know?
I think it's the era of the breakup, but I don't know if it's necessarily all about breakup. I think it's about all the things that happen.
The era itself is post-breakup of Joe Allen, and I think that's ultimately the spirit of the Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
As we can foresee it to be. Let's move on, Rachel, to the next category to break down, the musical mixology of this album. And I think the thing that most of us are so curious about right now is like, what is this going to sound like? Because one thing that Taylor does really well is shift genres. Now, she hasn't shifted so drastically. I mean, she's done country and country pop, into indie folk pop, if you will. But she's never gone so rogue as to, you know, put out a heavy metal album or a jazz album or, you know. So I'm using that. What I know about Taylor and her albums is I'm assuming it'll be somewhere within the realm of all of those genres put together. I think that there's going to be a lot of shifting with the tempo of these songs. I think, of course, we're going to get some sad. I shouldn't even use the word sad. I think we'll get some slower songs, and I think we'll get some upbeat songs. And I think that's what makes a great album great, because you want to listen to it from beginning to end, and you want there to be peaks and valleys in terms of the listening experience. And one way to do that is to shift up the tempo and the energy, just like she does with the Eras Tour. Well, looking at the imagery that we have and sort of discussing the spirit and the theme of this album, I don't know if I even want to lead off, Rachel. I'm curious.
Okay, I'm going to lead off.
I don't know. Is it pop? Is it folky? Is it low-key?
I want this album to give Stevie Nicks. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, she was teasing that with Midnights.
She was really teasing with Midnights, and I didn't get it with Midnights. We got more synth pop kind of situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's something about bringing on Florence and the Machine, who has performed some Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac music before, has spoken openly about like her being such a big influence on her. I actually feel like some of her music sounds like Stevie Nicks.
Run in the shadow. Run in the shadow.
I'm getting Stevie Nicks, I'm getting Fleetwood Mac, and more specifically, I'm getting the Rumours album from Fleetwood Mac.
Wow. One of the greatest albums of all time, Rachel.
But specifically because that was an album written by two artists who were in love and then broke up in the midst of writing that album. Mm-hmm. That album was written from immediate gut feelings. And that album is heartbreaking and yet so powerful. And we know that Taylor and Joe Alwyn love to write music together, and they love to write through some really sad songs. And so I'm getting like some Stevie and Lindsay in this like vibe thing.
Yes.
And I know also that Stevie Nicks has spoken openly about being friends with Taylor. They have performed together at the Grammys.
Tell me about singing with Stevie Nicks.
Singing with Stevie Nicks at the Grammys was unbelievable. She has taught me some of the most important lessons. I feel like I made a new friend and sort of like this guardian angel type person. It's so wonderful that that happened.
I'm just throwing my hat in the 70s rock.
Okay, so 70s rock.
Female vibe. Okay. Like, yes.
Okay.
So there's my musical hopes and dreams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have hopes and dreams, but I don't think my hopes and dreams are what it's going to end up sounding like.
Okay.
My hopes and dreams are that we get another pop album, because I love pop music and I love a banger. It's my favorite style of song, not only from Taylor Swift, from anybody. And I think you and I differ on that. I know you love a pop banger, but you definitely connect and really appreciate a really more subdued and slower song if there's really meaningful lyrics to it.
Yes.
And I can appreciate a meaningful song, but I attach myself more to interesting pop noises. Mm. Noises and sounds that I'm not used to hearing. Like Lavender Haze, for example, was a really great representation of this is a noise, this is a sound I've never heard before. I think Midnights really lean into the weird, and it really worked out quite well.
Uh-huh.
And we know that she has worked with Jack Antonoff on the past 300 albums. And she's worked with Aaron Dessner on the past 100 albums. And, you know, so I love the music that they put out together, but we've discussed this. I would love to hear a new sound from her. So I guess I'm all over the place with what do I want. Like, I want a Jack-produced pop hit. I want new sounds from her. I think part of me really wants some of these really, like, gut-wrenching songs, if we're going to get those, to be more upbeat. Like, It's Different. Like, yes. Renegade.
Yes.
You know, like, I really like it when Taylor gives you a poem, if you will, that should be interpreted as being sad, but puts it to sort of a happier beat. So I'm kind of hoping for that. One interesting thing is that we have no idea. We have no lead single that has been released yet.
At least not yet. We should check right now.
We could check right now. I mean, like, what if? Holy crap. No, we should take this opportunity, Rachel, to check right now.
It's true.
And I see nothing. So.
Okay.
As of the time of recording this podcast, we have no lead singles. We have no teasers of what this is going to sound like. And I think that's what Taylor, she's been doing that the last few album releases. And I think it's worked out really well for her. You know, so with Midnights and with Evermore and with Folklore, there were no lead singles. There were no teasers whatsoever until the day that the album dropped. And what has she done? Done nothing but broken records with those album drops. And I think that's what's so interesting about how the formula works for Taylor Swift. Obviously, she has a swath of fans that will be listening to this album on release day, no matter what. But then there's so many like Swifty curious and Swifty allies will be tuning in because nobody really knows what it's going to sound like. And
this entire album is tea. It's like people are seeing it that way. Like Swifties are excited for new music, but then they're just like the curious people that are like, what is she gonna say about this? And which song is about Travi?
So do we think there's a song about Travi?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think that's the Sarah. I think that's 12. But maybe. I have a maybe. I have one song that it could be.
Okay. Well, I am so excited to get into these song titles with you, Rachel.
Yeah.
We have the track list, Rachel, for every song that will be on the standard edition, all the variants, which is, what, 20 songs we decided?
Yes.
I've written down basic thoughts about every single track, and I would love to just kind of talk about them with you and maybe kind of generally discuss what we think the song is going to be about and who it's going to be about and what the spirit of that song is going to be. So beginning with track number one, Fortnite, featuring Post Malone. Rachel, I have like a top three songs I'm most excited for. Fortnite as one of them. For me, reason being, I love a track one. I always think they just are so much fun. And with one exception, I don't love State of Grace, and you can just, you know.
You also don't like Welcome to New York, so.
Oh, I don't like Welcome to New York.
And I like both of those songs.
You're right, I really don't. So I guess I don't love every single track one, but I love 80%, so that's pretty good odds. But I also love Post Malone, so.
But how interesting to lead off your album with a collab.
Never done that before. The last few times she's collaborated with a male artist, you and I have fathomed that male artist is trying to tell the male's side of the story that Taylor is telling. So yes. I am very curious if that's what we're going to get. Fortnite is a British term, interesting, it literally means 2 weeks. It means 14 days, right? Mm-hmm. So... What are your fathomings there?
The day that all the friends dropped him, April 19th, was essentially 2 weeks.
2 weeks after they broke up.
After they broke up. I mean, we don't know exactly when it happened, but we found out on a Easter Sunday, so it could have been a few days before. That would have been 14 days. Could that be it? I don't know. But this has to be, I mean, it's leading us off. So it has to be... big.
I feel like what's interesting is because of this track one is what if this is leading us off by saying it's been a fortnight since we broke up and where is she at right now 2 weeks post breakup?
Yes.
Which then would make me think that this album is chronologized. Did I say that right?
Well, whereas I like don't know, but I kind of think it is.
Yeah. So like this is the start of it. It's like, we've been broken up. We are broken up. And this has been the last 2 weeks for me. And then every song that comes after is like the transgression of, I mean, perhaps, very much perhaps. Or she just wants to lay it out there. It's like, it's been a fortnight. I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit. Maybe kind of a situation.
But I don't think she's good on some new shit yet.
Maybe. Yeah. You don't think?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
I don't think she's good yet.
Not yet.
I don't think she's good yet.
You think she's good yet as in like in this current present day? Or you mean story of the album?
In the storyline of this album.
For sure.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I kind of feel like we're going chronological, and that's the direction I'm taking.
Yeah.
Which the reason I don't think she's there yet is the next track, The Torture Poets Department. Okay.
This is important, sister.
Very, very important. I was thinking back to, okay, track two. Why is this a track two? Why wasn't this a track one? I was thinking back to how you were telling me from in our very first episode with Maroon. Maroon is a track two. What does a track two mean? We know a track one lays out the album, but at track two is when we're starting to get on our, onto our road trip. And so like, it's like Fortnite is almost just like that in a story of like, you get that like dramatic intro and then it like, now we then, and it just like catches you by, that's what Fortnite might be. And then Torture Poets Department is like, okay, here's how this album is going to go.
Mm-hmm. A track two is very important.
So I feel like the Torture Poets Department is actually going to be more of a generic song and about like talking about how she's capable of getting through something only by writing about it, by being a poet. And the lines that came to us when this Torture Poets Department album was first shared with us read as follows. So I enter into evidence my tarnished coat of arms, my muses acquired like bruises, my talismans and charms, the tick, tick, tick of love bombs, my veins of pitch black ink. All's fair in love and poetry. Sincerely, the chairman of the Tortured Poets Department.
I have a feeling this song is going to be a little bit more, I don't want to say lighthearted, but maybe just not quite as heavy as the term tortured suggests. And I don't really have a good reason for backing that up. It's just a gut feeling that I have.
I would agree with you. I think there is some tongue-in-cheek to this label, torture poet. But also, again, as a poet, as someone who uses words to communicate her story, to tell her story, like, oh, I just so love the idea of embracing the Torture Poets Department. Like, I want to be a member. I want to be on that committee. Like, I am so excited. And I think, like, the people around me also know, like, Mike especially is, like, I roll, like, so dramatic. Like, how I can, like, just watch a leaf fall and then just feel so moved by it and how it connects to my childhood and as well as the current moment in my life, right? Whatever. But I also feel like the line, all's fair in love and poetry, is saying, but you know what? It's fair. Because this is what I can do. And the word poetry replaces the word, the very common phrase, all's fair in love and war. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like she uses poetry in her battle, you know? Poetry is her battle, is her way of fighting herself out of a hard situation. If she uses words to get out of it or songwriting. But it also might be the way that she's about to communicate what happened in this battle through her poetry.
Totally. I'm so intrigued because I want to know why it's the title track. Like, why did she choose to use this to represent the entire album? That's a huge decision.
Because I think we know, because of the way that she hints at, already did at her Eras tour, I had to write this. This was one of the albums before anything else that I had to write. Yeah. And I think she's like hinting at that and letting us know, like, I have to do this. This is how I move through really difficult parts of my life. And you make fun of me and everybody's going to be talking about how I'm just like dragging this guy through. But this is how I get through this.
And this because she's been tortured. And that's her way of combating that.
Yes.
To write.
Yep, and she's a member of that, and she gets to do that. And then, now we're about to hear the rest of the story.
All right.
Track three.
So that gets us to My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, is track three. Rachel, here's what I thought of. Do you know the story of Mice and Men when Lenny yes. has the little puppy that he loves to death, literally? Yes. That's kind of what I was thinking of. Like, that puppy was Lenny's favorite toy, and he loved it so hard that it broke. So What if she's saying her boy, as in her man, her lover, breaks his favorite toys, like almost apologizing on behalf of him, perhaps?
Like, he loved me too much.
Loved me too much, perhaps.
And wanted to, like, squeeze me and protect me too much. That's so super interesting. Mm-hmm. I was going off of this idea that I feel like I kind of hinted at in Renegade when we were talking about, did Joe just, like, really just want, did the relationship work for him when Taylor was broken? And so,
yeah, maybe like he just likes a broken thing.
Yeah, like his fate. Like, if he wants you broken, and he's just gonna keep breaking you. Okay. Anyway, I'm curious about that. I'm curious if this song is a little bit about, yeah, like needing to be broken.
Love it. Okay, Down Bad is track four. Yes. I wrote down that this is gonna be a sad bop.
Sad bop. Oh, I love a sad bop.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like
it's different.
For the placement of it being a track four, I'm thinking Snow on the Beach. I'm thinking, what else do we have in that place? We have Exile. We've got Tis the Damn Season. Those are all kind of like a little bit of a sad-ish kind of mood.
What's the Reputation number four?
I Did Something Bad.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Or is it Don't Blame Me? I get those two mixed up. I think it's Don't Blame Me is track number four of Reputation.
Okay. Interesting. I even wondered if this was going to be like one of those great verses that flips the definition of down bad, or a chorus that flips the definition of down bad throughout the song. And that, like, I even Taylor wondered if she was going to go back to how she always falls like this. Like, this is how she is. She always falls really, really hard and, like, wants to do everything she can to get these guys. And then she's always left feeling depressed when it's over because of that. So this could be more of just, like, a general song than specific to the relationship. But I definitely was getting, like, Reputation poppy vibes. But I like the label of sad bop.
All right, let's move on, Rachel, to a very anticipated track, which would, of course, be a track five, Taylor's most vulnerable tracks that she puts on an album. This one is called, and this one broke me when I heard it, So Long, London.
I mean, I don't feel like there's much to say. I feel like...
I mean, there's a lot to say. What are you talking about?
Well, but we've already said it. Like, to me, So Long, London, as a track five... This is going to be sad. This is going to be depressing. This may be the dragging. Who knows? This is the song to me that represents, no, this is over. And all of this is over. Everything that we had. And I think why I say it doesn't need to be said is because we all know, and Taylor knows that we know that she knows that we know that track fives are emotional. Like, her most vulnerable tracks.
Sure.
So she titles the most vulnerable track So Long, London. We're like, oh, so that's what this whole album essentially is about, right?
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting to comment on is Joe was a London boy. Tom Hiddleston was a London boy. Calvin Harris was a London boy. Harry Styles was a London boy. She has a song called London Boy where she talks about how she loves a London boy. And I think this song is probably just acknowledging that that is an end of an era for her, because she clearly loves an American boy at this moment right now. So.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean.
And perhaps it's not a sad, vulnerable song about a relationship. Perhaps it truly is her relationship with the city. And, like, the connections and the feelings that she had with London itself, regardless of who she was dating at the time. I mean, it could truly be a heartbreak song about a place. And I'd be curious to know.
But people are places to Taylor, right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
I'll never walk Cornelia Street again.
I thought of Cornelia Street for sure. Also, what if she twisted it? What if it was like, Instead of so long, we know so long to mean goodbye. But what if it wasn't goodbye, yeah. London? What if it was like, it's been so long, London, and I am here again. I don't know.
It was so long, London.
It was so long, London. Like, it was such a long time.
Yes.
I'm also very excited to hear about this track six, which, because their track fives are usually, like, emotionally wretched, she typically puts a track six intentionally there to kind of bring you back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so the song is called But Daddy, I Love Him. Rachel, she used the word daddy in a song title. We made it pretty clear we don't love it when she sings the word daddy. There are some really interesting discussions going on about this song on the internet.
Yeah,
Rachel.
I love the theories.
And I think the loudest discussion that I've been hearing is that this is a line from The Little Mermaid.
Daddy, I love him!
No.
And what that could represent is that she goes with that man, she exchanges her voice, she chooses to lose her voice, Ariel does, in order to love somebody. And if that's not a metaphor for her relationship with Joe Alwyn, you know, like, she did not have a voice. She was so quiet and she was silent because we think that's what he wanted her to be. And that was important to Taylor in that moment, is to not be bejeweled, because she wanted to be with him. So that's like the number one discussion I've been seeing.
So I've also heard people say that this could be about losing her masters.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Same concept of like not having a voice, right?
And not having a voice. And her dad was one of her biggest, you know, like, managers. And so, like, you could see that being a conversation that she would be having with him. That's another theory I have. But I do really like the Little Mermaid theory. I really love that the picture that is floating around of Harry Styles wearing a t-shirt that says, But Daddy, I Love Him. Because
is there actually a picture, or was that like a photoshopped image?
No. This is a real picture, a t-shirt that he's worn.
Interesting.
So is she hinting at Harry Styles? Is this a Harry Styles song? Can we get another Harry Styles song?
I'm good on the Harry Styles songs, but I'll take whatever we get.
I think I'm good.
Oh my God. It's such a funny name for a track on an otherwise. And these are the moments that I question, like, is this really going to be a sad, subdued album? Because they're kind of like comedic song. I mean, we've barely scratched the surface with some of these funny song titles, right?
I know.
But this is a great example of that.
Let's get into another one that's coming up next.
Yes.
Number seven, track seven, Fresh Out the Slammer. I don't know what this is giving to you, but this is giving light and airy. This is giving Bejeweled.
Yep, this is giving ready to party. That's what I got. Ready to party.
Yeah. Like, to me, okay, if we're following the storyline, this is her going out with her girlfriends. Like, this is one of our girlfriend bops. Like, I'm free now. This is when she started hitting all the restaurants. Like, this is when she was coming out, literally fresh out of the slammer of having to be in lockdown with her man, who did not want to be out and about.
Right.
And this is what it feels like to her to be out and about.
Yes. And
I'm excited about this one.
Leaving the prison of that relationship too. Right.
Or the prison of what he needed in that relationship. Like, not that the relationship itself was a prison, but that, like, what he needed in that relationship was to be locked away.
Yeah. I mean, I think she might view it as a prison of a relationship.
I mean, she's hinted at that.
She does. She has.
Yep.
I gotta say, I'm very excited for that one. I'm very, very excited for this next one. Track eight.
Yes.
I have a lot of intrigue on this one, Rachel.
Florida!
With three exclamation marks.
Three exclamation marks.
Yeah, and this one is another feature, the only other feature we have. So we've got track one with Post Malone, and then track eight, Florida, with Florence and the Machine. And before we talk about what does Florida, what could it mean, what could it be about, do you think there was an intention of why Florence was on a Florida song title?
I mean, it's cute. I don't know if it is, but I like it. I like the idea that, like, Taylor wasn't sure what, like, which one do you want to work on with me? And then she was like, oh, Florida sounds fun. And she's like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. Florida. Like, yeah. I just like that it was like a happy accident. Okay, I feel like sometimes that happens with her.
What do you think the song's about?
I feel like this could also give, like, girl trip vibes, right?
Okay.
Like, this could be, and maybe I'm just thinking of that because I have been on a Florida vacation with a bunch of girlfriends when one of them, like, her husband was deployed and she needed some cheering up. And she was like, I need a trip, guys. And we all, like, met her in Florida. We got a convertible. Another girl was, like, close to breaking up soonish with her boyfriend. It was just like this, like, girls
vibe.
Support each other. So that's giving me, and then we've got like a collab with another girl. Like, I just like that. But Florida was also the first show after the breakup announcement. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. The breakup announcement happened over
significant.
A break, actually.
Easter. It was
Easter break. Right. So she was just like a week or two
break
she had. And then she came back. And so this is a really interesting song title with knowing that. Like, that was a really significant moment for her post-breakup, is to go back on stage after everybody knows, after the world knows.
That is the shift in the Eras Tour.
Yeah, right.
That is when the people know what she knows.
Yes.
And that's big for her.
Now, Florida is the start of four songs in a row where we get some punctuation. Florida's got 3 exclamation marks. This next song, track 9, is Guilty as Sin? And I don't know what to think for this one.
I came up with an interesting theory. Because, like, okay, so I think we're going to get, like, ups and downs. And we've hinted at, like, oh, look, maybe this is, we had a couple of fun up bumps. I'm curious if Guilty as Sin will be maybe like a bitter song about the media, because maybe suddenly now the media knows about this. How are they going to spin her story, right? Like, is she guilty as sin? And maybe there's those feelings of, like, how she's scared about what the media might say, like how she's scared about how people will.
Interesting. So you think it's a song about the media?
That's one of my theories.
That's a good theory. I don't have a theory. I think it's just interesting. It's intriguing that it's a question. Guilty as sin? Let's move on to the next one, Rachel. Another question. Mm-hmm. Another funny song title.
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Yeah, that's curious.
Very curious, right? I wonder if this one is more about, like, how she's intimidating to date, but she doesn't view herself as intimidating.
I think this theory that I wrote down came from somebody I saw who was, like, writing the music based on what she thought. Okay, so this is totally random. But it was essentially, you shouldn't be afraid of me as long as you don't do anything wrong.
Right. Which, like, she's quoted saying.
Which she's been quoted as saying, like, you don't want me to write about you. You don't want to be afraid of me. Then don't make me mad.
Right.
Like, who's afraid of little old me and my, just all I have is a pen. So, like, this is, like, kind of like a little tongue-in-cheek kind of thing about what she does to exes, right? Like, all the accusations that everybody already thinks about her. Because, I mean, I think we're probably guilty about that, but I'm pretty sure we might have said, what a breakup, what, like, this is going to be an incredible breakup album, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of the first things we said. Like, what's she going to write about this? And that, because we all know that's what she's doing, but she's also saying, like, maybe it's about him, like, what he said about, what are you going to say about me? Like, why would you be afraid of little old me? You shouldn't have done, you wouldn't do anything wrong, would you?
No, that's a really good theory. I think when I first heard about the breakup, I assumed the breakup album would be devastating. But then I quickly learned I don't think she's devastated, at least not in how she performs. She literally said this was the happiest she's ever been in her life, like shortly after the breakup.
I actually think the devastating part happened in Midnights, maybe some of Folklore and Evermore. Yeah. Like, I think the devastating part happened in the breakdown.
Right.
And actually, she was writing about it, but we didn't know.
We didn't know.
We hadn't been told yet.
So that was track 10. Track 11. Upon first hearing this one, I declared this one is going to be my favorite. Not so sure anymore, but I think it's up there. I Can Fix Him, parentheses. No, really, I can.
No, really, I can. Yeah.
I think that's the most interesting song title. Out of many interesting song titles, to me, this is the most interesting because, gosh, I just don't know where to take it. I think it's really funny. It made me laugh when I first heard it. And I'm like just picturing Taylor singing that. And it just makes me giggle in a way. And at first I was like, this is going to be my favorite song. But I just don't know because I'm starting to think that this is going to be a more of like a sad song about how she thinks that she can like fix a guy. And she ensures that she can. And she's like telling herself that she can. But men are going to men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The other theory that has been thrown out there that this is about Maddie Healy.
Oh, not even fathom.
And if we follow in our timeline here.
Yeah, that would check
out. It would check out.
Oh, and you know what? That is giving Maddie Healy vibes.
It could.
Which what we know about that is like he was a problematic person. And she probably wanted to fix him. They were definitely like close and maybe romantic, but that was problematic for her image for sure. But maybe she was like trying to tell us he can be fixed. Like I can do that to him. Oh, I like this theory a lot. Now I'm more excited to hear it. Mm.
I mean, I kind of want it to be also about Travis Kelce. Like, I know he's
kind of a dude, bro.
I can fix him. No, really, I can. I can fix the NFL. No, really, I can. And I did.
She did. I still say that this has got to be one of the most intriguing songs I'm excited to hear about. So,
Fun fact, one of my favorite Substack groups is a poet Substack. They're a group of poets. They're called Part-Time Poets. And there's some good friends of mine, and they are doing a special release on that day where different people have been assigned a song and they have to write a poem about it. And they invited me to join. So this is my song that I have to write a poem about.
So fun. Have you written it yet?
Yeah, I haven't written it yet. I have ideas. And that'll be released on the day of the album. So I'll be sure to share it.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear yours and everybody's on that.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun, really creative prompt and creative.
Oh, I don't know what I'm more excited for, Rachel. That song, the album, your poem, like everything.
Or my poem.
Everything is so exciting. So
highly anticipated.
So highly anticipated.
Speaking of highly anticipated.
This next track, what is it? Track 11? Is that what we're on?
12.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, sorry, is what we know to be all lowercase letters, an acronym, L-O-M-L, which Rachel, you're bless your heart, you thought it was 10 milliliters.
I was so tiny, I couldn't read it very well, and I was like, ooh, this is fun, Sam the Next, this is like a mixology themed song. 10 milliliters.
10 milliliters.
I mean, the British, they use milliliters.
It's true. And, you know, to be fair, we don't know for sure if it's not. But I think the world collectively agrees it's L-O-M-L.
Yeah,
All lowercase. What are your thoughts, Rach?
So this is like a slang that I don't use, but it's like, love of my life.
Right. Yeah, I definitely don't use that either.
Be like a... And by slang, I mean like a texting abbreviation, right? So what I got in my mind was like, this is an ode to the girl chat groups, like of are like friendship chats. Like, this is a friendship song. I clearly want a lot of friendship songs. Because
why else would
here,
she put it
why?
In chat speak if it weren't about
it's chat speak
chatting
right.
with her BFFs was, or something?
So like, I'm curious because and I don't mean to make the whole thing about friendship, but I really feel like in this era, like, that's actually the thing that really saved her.
Yeah.
That and the Eras tour.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that we're friends too. So, but like, that could be a really interesting song.
That could be very interesting. Yeah.
About, you know, your girlfriend chats and the things that come up in that, like how they empower you and how they like laugh or like make you laugh or like call you out on your shit, you know, like, I don't know.
I feel like this one is, for whatever reason, it's giving the least interesting to me, but
yeah,
I like that theory. That one actually makes it way more interesting to me. I think because everybody expects it to be Love of My Life, it's not going to mean Love of My Life for a couple of reasons. I don't think she's discussing Love of My Life in a positive way in this album. Perhaps it means something different, but she's using it in chat speak. Perhaps it means
loss of my life.
Loss of my life could be, or look, only men lose. You know, I don't know. It could be.
I mean, she does. It could be the Taylor twist. She's like, you think she could just twist it as she.
I've got a feeling
song.
There's
going to
be a twist
meetings.
Involved with the song in some way or another.
Yeah.
Track 13.
13.
Oh, this one's good, Rach. This one.
So good.
This one's good.
I can do it with a broken heart.
Which I think is like, Taylor's always been able to do it. The thing is like, what is it, right? Like, but she's had a broken heart so many times, and then she writes an incredible album about having a broken heart. She's doing it, right? So to me, that was like my initial thoughts. Like, I can do it. I can be a successful artist. I can get through it, perhaps. It could be the Eras tour. It could be performing.
I'm leaning towards that.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards, I mean, this one's for the fans. This is our fan song. And this is like you said, like, I've always done it. I keep writing songs for you. I keep showing up for you. I keep, like, I do it with a broken heart. And I think this might be how, like, the Eras tour is what saved her, right? Like, it really helped her get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she clearly has sparkled and shined on the Eras tour after this breakup. It's been pretty clear to us that whether she's going through a heartbreak or not, like, she's living her best life on this Eras tour right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Track 14, Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Sam, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Well, I mean, golly, this sounds like a massive dig. This sounds like if there's going to be a dragging moment, this is it. Like, that is an insult to call anybody small.
Do you think that this is the one about, like, cheating? Or like us, like she had respect for him until he did this, and now he's like the smallest man who ever lived, because that's like
right.
The,
and
we
the have
worst thing you could do.
We have yet to discuss cheating as being an option, but I'm thinking, like, because of the whole, like, all my friends unfollowed this guy, he must have done something seriously wrong.
Yeah,
it's giving cheating.
Yeah,
It just seems like a huge dig, the smallest man
that's
who ever lived.
So them some fighting words.
Yeah, them
for sure.
Fighting words. She could twist it into something else, but yeah.
And that's interesting, the placement of that on this album. I don't know.
I know.
Well, that leads us to the alchemy. And an alchemist is someone who is a process of turning something into gold.
Which she has sung about Joe being gold to her.
And how she thought love was red and now it's golden. Mm. And I kind of think this is about about her and how she, it's like her romantic feelings and how she just always wants to make a relationship gold. Like she's still.
Like she's an alchemist.
Yes, she's the alchemist, and she's always going to be like, this is the fairy tale Taylor. This yeah, is the this is yes. love story Taylor. This is yeah. I can't help it, but I still am a hopeful romantic. I will always turn my relationships into gold because that's what I want.
Yeah, that's interesting because it almost seems like the concept to me of alchemy is like somebody wasn't worthy of being gold, but she's the reason that they became gold.
Oh,
and yeah. like Joe to her was gold, but only because she performed alchemy on him. And now he's the smallest man who ever lived. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. We're hitting our final track of the original album without the bonus tracks included. And we're going to wrap this up with a bow. Mm-hmm. In other words, the title is Clara Bow. This is a song I am very excited about. For one, I love an album closer, just like I like a first track. Yeah. I just like love the story that mm-hmm. tells. And from what we understand about Clara Bow, like this is an actual woman, a story about her. This is giving Last Great American Dynasty vibes to me, like a chance to tell the story of someone else, but at relating it to her and her life.
And what do we know about Clara Bow, Rach?
All right, so Clara Bow was one of the biggest stars during the silent era of movie making. So she was a film star. She became what was called, like, she coined the phrase the It Girl because she was in the movie It. Mm-hmm. And it became that colloquialism because of her. She was very sexy. She was known for this bow red-lipped mouth, this Cupid's bow red-lipped mouth. Very Taylor.
A lot of connections to Taylor.
Esque. Yep, totally. She had a really tough life growing up. There was some mental health happening later. There was a lot of gossip rumors that spread around about like her sexual nature, just like who she dated, who she didn't, whatever. She was in silent movies, but she was able to break into, finally later in life, into talkies, if you will, the movies with voices. So
there's that concept of found being silent at one point and then finding a voice.
Yep.
I also read that Clara Bow was in a relationship with a man who, quote unquote, didn't want her to show off. And that is giving Joe Alwyn to me as well. Didn't let her be bejeweled, right?
Yeah.
I like how your thought of like the Last Great American Dynasty, Taylor saying about Rebecca Harkness and kind of like uplifting Rebecca Harkness, even though she was the loudest woman this town had ever seen or, you know, ruining everything. I like how that could be a very similar vibe. Is like she's kind of doing that same thing with Clara Bow and then twisting it into her own life maybe at the end. Not like literally exactly how Last Great American Dynasty does it, but in a kind of parallel sense, perhaps. Yeah. I'm excited for that one. Great. I love a closer. But is it really the closer? Because we have all of these bonus tracks, Rachel.
Right.
Starting with The Manuscript, which is going to be on the regular album, CD, whatever. This is the bonus track, is The Manuscript. And what I know a manuscript to be is like an unpublished, kind of like almost handwritten story that is just yet to be released. It's like the story that has not been told. Like you've got your story, but you've not told it yet. And boy, what if like all of the songs up to this point were not getting much, but then finally in The Manuscript we get everything? What if? But that, I don't know, because it's a bonus track, which usually means like, I like it. It didn't really make sense for the album, but here it goes anyways. Is that what it's going to be? Is it going to be those vibes?
I'm connecting this to Dear Reader.
Yes.
Also
an old album closer as a bonus track.
Uh-huh. And that, which is essentially, and we haven't broken that down yet. We will need to do that. But it's essentially about like, hey, everything you heard before, like, there's more to the story. You don't know the whole story. Yeah. And I think this is her way of saying, you don't always know the whole story. And you didn't know the whole story. And I was able to lay out more of the story, but maybe also there's even more to the story that we don't know. Like, I just laid it all out for you, but of course, there's more unfinished work, which mm-hmm. could be a way of saying, like, there's Joe's side of the story too. Like almost like a handing that over.
Yeah, kind of like that. Way. Now we move in, Rachel, to these variants. We know that there's like basically four different versions of the album. The main one has the manuscript as the bonus track, but there are three more, which instead of the manuscript, there are these songs called The Bolter, The Albatross, and The Black Dog. I have a theory about all of these as a whole.
Okay, tell me. I don't know. What's your theory?
My theory is that these aren't songs, but they're spoken word poems with maybe a little bit of instrumentation in the back. I think it's interesting that they're all titled The Something, including the manuscript, but I don't group the manuscript in with these thematically. I group these three as a theme. And I think it's these three are going to be spoken word poems. And I have a feeling there might be a little bit of music in the background, but she won't be singing it. And I have a feeling that The Black Dog, The Albatross, and The Bolter are places, specifically in London. And I Googled it just to see, and they kind of are places. So The Bolter The Bolter is a pub.
Yes.
I think The Black Dog is also like a pub.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I Googled The Albatross, and it's a hotel. It's like a nice looking hotel. It looks like a hotel that Taylor Swift would stay in. So my theory is that I don't know like what she will be discussing individually in these songs, but I feel like they're about these places and maybe something significant about those places or something that's significant that happened in those places. And I have a feeling that they're not going to be songs. They're going to be spoken word poems.
I'm obsessed with the spoken word poem idea. Mm-hmm. That had not even crossed my mind. I kind of hope all of these bonus tracks are like that. Like, even if they're not like
even the manuscript.
Related.
Yeah. The thing is like the manuscript doesn't seem like a place to me. So that didn't really fit in my theme.
No.
But
I'm not sure if I believe you on your place theme.
Okay.
I think that's interesting. It could have been a place that exists and no one is there to tell her if it exists or not. But it also, these all have some thematic connections too.
Yeah.
So The Black Dog is a phrase about having depressed feelings. That one gives me renegade, like similar to our renegade conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
But the albatross is a bird that apparently can be off the ground for 6 years.
Oh.
And it mates for life. So
fascinating.
The albatross is like a bird in that sense. So that's interesting. It's also all white with black tips. And people have said like, oh my gosh, Taylor Swift was dressed like the albatross.
She was.
At the Grammys.
You're so right.
That feels like a stretch. And then the bolter is a word for, it's actually, there's a book all about this, which I kind of wanted to get from the library and read it. But it was a word used to describe women who broke the rules and fled their marriages. So this was like in like Victorian era when it wasn't good to leave a marriage, right? These were called, a bolter was a person who left a marriage. So I think there's some thematic connections, but also there are some places. So I hope these are poems. I like that we've never had that from her and that would fit so well.
Yeah, right. I feel like there is a deeper connection with these variants, these bonus tracks that have a tie-in with them all together thematically that we just can't quite fathom yet.
Interesting enough, Fleetwood Mac has a song called Albatross.
No kidding.
Led Zeppelin has a song called Black Dog. I don't know a bolter, but I did learn that those things have a connection to some sort of like rock.
Wow. There is just a lot to be discovered. And gosh,
so
was this
much
not
to be
so much fun? I loved hearing your theories. And yes, we might be totally wrong, but that's part of the fun. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing our theories as well. We would love to hear what your theories are. Now, this episode comes out 1 week before we will actually be hearing this album, so we've got some time to even further process and further digest. But if you guys have any additional thoughts, please share them with us. Rachel, how do we wrap up this episode?
Well, we need to know where we're headed next. And this episode will be airing a week before the album is released. And so the next episode is airing on the release day of Torture Poets Department. And I felt like that I needed to pick a song that feels like it has a connection to the Torture Poets Department.
Okay.
Maybe a song that I've already mentioned just a few minutes ago.
Hmm.
And this song, I feel like, might be an interesting bridge once we break into it from Midnights to the Torture Poets Department.
That
song is Dear Reader.
Oh, yes. What a great choice for this.
I wondered if you thought I was going to pick You're Losing Me. And
I did not think that, and I didn't think. You're Losing Me can't happen right now. I don't know how to explain why that can't happen right now, but it just can't happen right now. But Dear Reader makes a lot of sense because that's essentially the last song that we got before the album that we're getting next.
Yeah.
Right? And reading and poetry, and there's a lot of intrigue. Also, I really love Dear Reader. I love that song.
And I think it's a sleeper, so I'm excited for us to talk about it and to welcome the Torture Poets Department.
Yes, great choice.
That's
where we're
headed.
This is an exciting era for our podcast, Rachel.
Yay!
There is a lot of amazing things to come, and I cannot wait to discuss these with everybody. Swiggies, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you so much for tuning into our episodes week after week after week. I don't think we say that enough, Rachel. I don't think we say thank you enough. But really, it does mean the world to us that you guys love to hear our breakdowns and you give us your feedback. And we just are having so much fun doing this with each other and for everybody else. And so just a deep thank you to everybody for listening. And on that note, we would love if you guys would leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. On Apple Podcasts, you can write a review and we would love to read that and share it on air. It would help our podcast grow immensely. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Swift and Swigs Podcast. And then send us an email if you've got theories, if you've got new shit you're listening to, you think we were into, songs you would love for us to break down. You can send an email to swiftandswitspodcast@gmail.com. Just continue to share the love. Thanks for streaming our episodes week after week, guys. It seriously is so much fun doing this with everybody. So, yeah. On that note, Rachel, I guess we'll see you next week.
All's fair in love and poetry.
It is. I hope it's fair and not too depressing, but time will tell.
Meeting adjourned, Sam, of Poets Department.
Meeting adjourned.
Georgia Poets Department. Quickly.